Welcome to PodCash, the portable professional development podcast from Cash Alumni. Cash Alumni is the fastest growing association of professionals in care, health, and education, and we're happy to have you here. This is where you'll hear from specialists and experts from across our network. Here's what's coming up.
It's taken me all those years from the age of 16 to 70 to get where I am and pull everything together, my knowledge, my resilience, my understanding of families, to now support and work with families. They want to have a much better relationship with all their children and understand them as individuals.
Let's jump in to this week's episode.
My name's Kathy Bowers and I'm a parenting, teen and life coach. I'm based in the UK and I support parents online through specific packages around communication and improving their relationship problems and the relationship with their children. For all my career, for over 40 years, I started off when I was 16 as a nursery nurse, working with parents and children in different settings, schools, nurseries, agency work. And then I progressed, and then I became a family support worker, then a senior family support worker and practitioner working in children's settings. And that's really when I worked directly for 20 years within the family home. And therefore, I came across to teenagers. I wasn't just merely working with the little ones. I was working with the older ones as well, because they wanted to get involved with, obviously, their family life. There was quite a bit of, I wouldn't say harmony was going on very well in these families. It was difficult.
I can imagine that that's quite a challenging environment to go into with solutions.
I mean, what happened was, luckily, they didn't see me as a social worker. And I don't know if it's my personality. I made them relax very quickly with me, because when I introduced myself, I asked them, tell me about you. I wasn't coming with a heavy hand. And they knew that they didn't have to have my help, but it was obviously helpful. So we got on very well with all the families. I think there was only one family that didn't want my service and my help. But everyone sort of got on well. And they liked it, because I used to bring in a load of games or art material and things to do with the kids. And they'd all engage. And then what was happening was the teenagers, the younger children were already engaged with their doing art, sticking, crafting. But then the teenagers said, oh, can we come in as well? I said, yeah, of course you can. Next thing, if they had friends, they were joining in. So it was like a real happy family. And it was really nice, because the children didn't really have any structure until I got involved. And then they had to get used to the boundaries we were putting in, that mum was saying, well, Kathy, you put the boundaries in first and then I'll follow your lead, because I'm not really sure. So it was just really putting in the basic structure, the basic routines that were working. And I suppose it took a good month for them really to do it, but they started to realize what was these girls, and they were just, you could see they wanted to do something really well in their career. They both wanted to go to university, and mum hadn't done it, but she was encouraging. She said, yeah, you have to work really hard. And they were straight A students. They were really, really good.
That sounds great.
I was their last resort, and if not, the children would be taken away from the family. But they came in not really looking and taking time to see that person, to see that mum, to be on her wavelength, to give her that reassurance that, okay, you've come from a very bad scenario and you're stuck at the moment, but it doesn't mean we can't work through all the solutions, find solutions to your problems that you've got. And that's all it took. All it took for her was to see someone was not pointing a finger and being judgmental immediately. I was open to say, show me who you are. And yeah, there were things I said, no, I don't like this. This has to change. You know, I'll give you a week to sort this mess out. But because I gave that, and it was an open and transparent relationship, and I was honest with her, and I said, but ask me anything, pick my brain, see what I can help you with, you know. So it was working like that. And I worked like that with all families. I had families who were two parents, for example, two young ones who were heavy drug users, you know, in the heroin, but they had a baby girl there and they were desperately trying to keep their child. One was cleaner than the other. One was going to rehab and doing anything. The other one was sort of thinking about it. So many different scenarios, you know, that I was going into. And lots of them were women who, as I said, who had domestic abuse. They'd suffered terribly from that. So I advised them to join domestic abuse support groups, and eventually I helped run them. Just to make sure that they had that support so that they could understand the impact that had had on their children. Okay, they didn't see those partners anymore, but the impact has still been, you know, the children had grown up with them, some of them maybe to the age of 7 or 8 or even older before that partner got out. So it did impact on them. So it was just different human situations that people don't want to get into, but for some reason it happens. And once you've got in there, it's very difficult to get out without taking someone reaching out to you and giving a hand and saying, let me help you pull out of this hole.
So how did you get into that sort of support work from that beginning as a nursery nurse in an early years setting? There's quite a big difference between those two jobs in terms of the environment that you have to be comfortable working in, lone working and working on your own. And then I suppose, like, keeping emotionally safe yourself.
Keeping myself emotionally safe has always been easy for me because I'm a holistic therapist, Reiki practitioner. So I've always had that grounding and it's always helped me to be able to say, this is my 9-to-5 or 9-to-6 job, whatever it is. But that's my job and I'm not taking that home. I'm not putting that on myself because although I dearly like these people because I really grew very fond of them, that's their situation. And I'm no good going home. It wouldn't do my family life any good if I was taking it on or it'll wear me out. So I knew I could, and it seemed to balance. Maybe I'm just that sort of person that can find balances that work well for me. You're right. I mean, originally when I first started as a nursery nurse, I was working in the schools in training. I wasn't seeing. But as I got on, I was then working with state nurseries. And that's when I started to see families coming in which had problems, you know. And we used to do family support reviews and we got everyone involved and we got the psychiatrist. If there was a psychiatrist, we'd join the meeting. So we had all the professionals there as well as the parent discussing what was going on and the impact. It was usually held in the school. Sometimes it was held in a private setting for practitioners and things, depending on if we felt that was a better place to bring mum. So I started to see the problems that families had going to schools, going to the nurseries, because you know, your child protection, you're still going to school, you're still coming in. Mum was always coming in late, for example, because she was absolutely under the influence of alcohol. And then she was maybe not collecting the kids for two and a half hours later, or maybe someone else would turn up. And then, as I said, when I joined social care and family support work doing that, it initially started off with very just easy cases, as I said, that was fixed quite quickly. But when I got the hard-ended cases, I had already got the experience and the knowledge and I'd been on training and loads and loads of training. So I had that. And also I think I had the maturity to deal with things. And I'm not afraid to be faced with challenges. I like that. I think my life and my personality grabs in and helps. I suppose I learned on the job, as it were, but I'm a quite quick learner. I suppose nothing really unbalances me or puts me feeling, I don't feel awkward in certain situations. So if I didn't understand or know something, I would ask those families, you know, tell me more about your situation. How come you've become a drug user or an alcoholic? Where did it start? What happened to you to make you like that? And because they actually see I'm really interested, they will tell me, they will let me know. You know, if you've got mental health issues, when did that start? Is that part, is it hereditary or did something come? So I found it very helpful to be open and learn from my families. And obviously what I learned from one family, I went to another family and they might be a similar scenario. And I think, oh, I've dealt with this. I now know how to support these families better than the, you know, the first time. And it just grew. I mean, as I said, I did it for 20 years and I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of families I work with.
This is Podcash, brought to you by Cash Alumni. For discounts on everything from Apple products to MOTs, visit the cashback page of cashalumni.org.uk. That's cashalumni.org.uk.
I talk a lot about higgledy-piggledy career paths and how actually there's no such thing anymore as a career. You have lots of careers within your lifetime and might hop between those different strands of things. It's really nice for me to hear stories of people who start off in one area of our sector, the cash sector, care, early years, childcare, education, and moving into sort of other areas of that professional sphere, because you made that connection between, oh, well, I'm actually really interested in helping families with these problems because I can see the impact it has on their children, and putting yourself in a position to get that training and to do that move and follow that new path that you spotted. How did you move from doing that, which I can tell that you were really passionate about and it sort of evolved with, how did you move from that into self-employment and working directly with those families yourself?
Right, well, what happened was, I mean, I'm 70 now, so I'm getting on. but I got disillusioned over the last 6 years of working with social care, because up to that point, when I worked with families, they were looked at individually, and I might be with a family for 8 months, another one for a year, another one for 3 months. Whatever that family needed and whatever situation they were there, I had that piece of work that I could complete with them to the end. Then, as you know, things change within the settings and the structure. Then all of a sudden they just said, right, every family is only going to have 6 weeks of your care now. And I went, what, 6 weeks to share their life story, 6 weeks to trust me, 6 weeks to make change? That's impossible. I couldn't do that. And they said, well, we might let you have an extra 3 weeks with some of the families, but not necessarily all of them. So I said, well, what happens then? And I feel as though my business, my life change coaching, it's my vocation. It's taken me all those years from the age of 16 to 70 to get where I am and pull everything together, my knowledge, my resilience, my understanding of families and parenting and all the things that we go through, and have it there to now support and work with families. They want to have a much better relationship with all their children and understand them as individuals, and so that they know that they've got solutions, they don't panic anymore, they can go with the flow of the family growing and developing and use that knowledge that they learn through the coaching sessions to ensure all their needs of the children are being met, which is so vital, and get their kids to grow up into adults, you know, teenagers and then adults themselves, and who have relationships and who might later on become parents. So I love this part of the work. It's not like, you know, more of the counselling. It's not like that. It's fun. It's enjoyable. And I also do mentoring because the teenagers want to have a say. So I do mentoring online with the parents and their teenagers so they can all get in the same room and talk. And I'm sort of there sort of saying, okay, it's your turn now. So I'm sort of keeping the harmony there and the balance in that room while it's going on.
Yeah, being a bit of a mediator.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously something that you really care about. I definitely plan to be sitting in me countryside home with me feet up when I get to 70. So the fact that you're starting this whole new venture to offer more support back into that area that you've cared about for such a long time is pretty admirable.
Thank you.
Do you find that it's easier to get started now that you've got families approaching you for help rather than you being given to them as you said, a last resort?
Not really. I'm sort of starting off now, really. I'm a newie now because I wasn't good with the IT. So it's only been the last couple of months I've started to reach out to people, and it's been absolutely wonderful.
That makes sense. And it sounds like you've continued your learning journey. So what I got from the early conversation was that obviously starting off in an early years setting as a nursery nurse, that you've found things that you're interested in and you've developed towards them over time until you had this sort of dream job of being able to make those interventions and work with those families. And that as you've retired and started getting your pension, doing those things, that you've continued that development in a different direction in terms of that business administration and marketing and all of those things that go into setting up a business. Does that play a big part in who you are, that learning?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I learned from my elder mum, who died when she was 98. Although her physical health wasn't good, her brain, she was still like a sponge wanting to learn. And we don't. You know, you look at people who are, David Attenborough, look how old he is, in his 90s, isn't he? And they're so sharp. Your brain wants to learn. You should want to learn something new each day. You should want to take yourself out of your comfort zone at least once a day. Try something different. You know, you might not like it. You might decide, oh, I tried this activity. Oh, I wasn't really interested in that. It was a bit boring. But at least you've tried it. How do you know what you're good at or what you like or what you'll enjoy unless you try it? Same with food, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that like informal learning and that idea that you can just pick things up from wherever you are and whatever it is that you're doing is really important. I suppose... On that note, you've mentioned your own family and your own life a couple of times. How does your learning as a parent play into the stuff that you do supporting other parents?
Oh, it's vital, because although I was a nursery nurse, having your own children is totally different than looking after somebody else's. You know, it's like when you're working, when I was working in schools and things, children listen to you, they'll do as you told, but your parent, your children will challenge you, wear you down, and not necessarily listen to you. So I mean, it hasn't always been easy. I was married, then I ended up a single parent. Divorce impacted greatly on my children. So, you know, their mood swings, how they behave. And I haven't always been the best parent. There was a stage where I smacked, there was a stage where I shouted, and then I suddenly listened and started to think, this isn't any good. And I suddenly came to the conclusion, if screaming at someone or if smacking them, once you've done it once, and if they changed from doing that action, then probably that worked. However, if it doesn't, and you're continuing to smack, it's the impact you're giving. You're a big adult on a small child, you know, putting fear into them. And I mean, I came from an upbringing. My mum was Jamaican, and she'd give us a smack. She'd slap us on the bottom with a slipper or whatever it was, you know. And she used to make me, she'd try to get me to stand in the corner, and I was like, fidget. So she put me in a waste paper basket to try and stand still. And I was still fidgeting so much, I fell out the the waste paper basket upended. I ended up on the floor. I grew up with a twin brother, so we'd be squabbling and fighting with each other like kids do. And then mum would say, I need enough of you. And she'd go, whiff, and bang our heads together. So it was interesting, my childhood, and then how I took some of the things which I put in place, but some didn't work. I realised that they were the wrong types of things to use. And then I used my nursing skills, and then learning my family, learning about, the more I learned about my children and who they were and the sensitive side of them and their meeting their needs, you know, I tried to ensure and offer more harmony and balance in the family and go through love rather than fear or threats and things like that. But there were times when I caught myself shouting like a fishwife. I thought, oh my goodness, you know, or I felt like I was on a loop, constantly repeating myself over and over again. And that's when I thought, boundaries, I'm going to put those in now. So I stuck them, wrote them down on a piece of lining paper, and I put them at the bottom of the stairs. So it works, and it really is really helpful to have consistency with your boundaries and your routines. Routines are a must for anyone who wants to get the children to bed on time, get them up for school, get everything organised, and get us out the door, you know, to be on time to take them to school.
This is Podcash, brought to you by Cash Alumni. For job search and careers advice in care, health and education, why not try our state-of-the-art SkillsMiner AI tool? SkillsMiner is under the careers tab of cashalumni.org.uk. That's cashalumni.org.uk.
That idea of using sort of your experience, right from your experience of having a parent to your experiences of being a parent, and then as a practitioner, that sort of other side of things is really great, because I speak to practitioners often who, again, that disconnect between practitioners and your life as a practitioner and actually how different that is from being a parent and struggling with being a parent whilst being an expert in early years education and that day-to-day work with children, I can imagine is quite tough. So I think it's nice to hear someone with so much experience talk about their own challenges with their own children. I don't necessarily think that we think about that enough. Is there anything that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet that you would want our audience to know?
I think the most important thing is, as a parent, don't beat yourself up if things go wrong. You know, you can always try again, but learn from what hasn't gone well and what you could have done better. And also, don't compare yourself with your neighbour's child or your friend's child or your family, other children, your cousins and things, because everyone's different and your parenting and your parenting skills are completely different than your next door neighbour's. And if you, for example, compare them and they're doing well, you find your child's not maybe reading as well or not talking as much or not walking as much and developing, you're going to think, what's wrong with my child? You know, there might be something, but not necessarily all the time. So you have to really think, no, I'm looking at my family and I'm going to do the best. And if I think there's something, I can always ask a teacher or ask a GP or inquire for things to be done. Same with parenting books. I always say this to families. They're great to have. You've got so many different ones people look at. But that's all they are. They're books with knowledge in that can give you some form of direction and help you. And try them. Try a few things and tips. But don't get upset if what you're trying and they're saying, this works marvelously, this will really change things, if it doesn't. Because it's just someone else's knowledge that's been written down on the pages. And it might not work for your family. It's just like boundaries have to be put in, but they have to sort of suit all ages of your child. You're not going to put a boundary in for a two-year-old that you want your teenagers to do and vice versa. You know, so you've got to really think about your children's understanding of what you're asking from them. and your expectations.
That's really wise. That idea that it's not one size fits all. You're going to get things wrong. And that, I suppose, is it that on some level it is important for children to see their parents get things wrong sometimes, and actually how
definitely
is probably a good lesson in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean, through your guidance as a parent, you're showing your children how to handle their emotions. So they have to show all sorts of emotions from you. Obviously, they don't want you shouting, ranting and raging, but you can say, well, I'm feeling really cross today, or I'm angry about this. But you're showing your child that you're in control of that anger, and you can talk about it. Or you can say, I'm upset. You might be crying and say, I'm sorry, I'm a bit upset. But you're allowing your children to learn, and you're also allowing them to understand and to say to you, I feel cross. I can do this. If you don't express those feelings, you know, they might be upset that their daddy's no longer with them or something. But if they see that I don't want to talk about it. Mum doesn't want to talk. This is the situation. We're not going to discuss this. It doesn't help them, you know, be able to talk about those feelings. Just because you don't want their father in your life doesn't mean that the kids want, or they want to know something, you know.
Can you let everyone know where the best place to find it is if they want to find out more about what you do or how they can get in touch?
Yeah, the best place is my website. It's life-change-coaching.co.uk. And as I mentioned earlier, you can click on the link there and book a 30-minute free exploratory session with me on Zoom, just to tell me more about what's going on for you, find out a little about what I do and how I can help you, and we just take it from there.
Thanks for listening to Podcash. If you enjoyed it, please follow or subscribe on your podcast app so you never miss an episode. You can also watch many of these conversations by heading over to cashalumni.org.uk and going to the CPD and best practice section of the site. That's cashalumni.org.uk. Thank you.